Praise the Lord. Good morning. I had something on my mind and heart as of yesterday afternoon, and it got totally blown away, and I'm thankful. I think we need to learn how to wait on the Lord. Sometimes we get ideas about how we think things ought to be. Nobody's ever been in that place, right? But somehow my mind went back to something that I had been thinking about early in the week, and it sounds like, we're saying the same things over and over again, but I feel like there's a need. I feel like there's a need in me for certain truths to be brought out in fresh ways, and for the Lord to just impress on our hearts that they're not just things we know in our heads and think about and agree with generally, but we actually experience what He wants us to experience in our day-to-day life. And I guess, the area of truth has to do with peace, and Lord knows we talked about it enough, right before the holidays, right before I went away through the holidays, we had a service on peace, and I certainly emphasized it last week, talking about battles that are coming. And it seems like the first of the week, I experienced something that reminded me of something in the past. I'll bring it up at some point, but I just felt a peace, and it wasn't something I could explain. It's just that I wasn't worried about stuff. You get to a point where you look at the news and you see the way things are going, and you can get stressed out about it if you want to. But the things we've been singing about it this morning are true. I mean, I asked the Lord to confirm it. Good grief, everything we sung has been a confirmation of what I've been thinking about. And I just feel like the Lord wants us to be able to live a different life than we live, and to get this in a way that we haven't gotten it. We're going to need it, folks. That's the, we've said so many times, we're sailing into dark seas and rough waters. But the Lord has a plan where we don't have to sit there and go down with the ship like the world is. We can have a strength, we can have a peace in the midst of whatever storms come. I mean, think about our Savior, and think about what He went through in His life. And there were things that He had to confront, but did He go through His life stressed out? No, I mean, think about that. Think about all the stuff that He had to deal with, and the stuff that He knew that He was watching unfold, and the unbelief that He had to deal with, and the ignorance, and so many things that He had to deal with, and yet he didn't just blow up. He didn't just, oh God, I got to fix this. I got to do something. This is too much for me. All the burdens that we carry, He just didn't have them. And it wasn't that He didn't experience them, but He knew what to do with them. And that's where we miss the boat, I think, many times. And it's not that the Lord comes down and condemns us for it, but there's stuff we got to learn. It's just not natural. It's not natural for us to be able to hand off our burdens. And I guess the scripture that I began with, I don't know how long this is even going to be. I'm just going to go ahead and start. But it's so familiar to us, and every scripture I'm sure that I'll refer to this morning is. And it's in Philippians 4. Scripture we're so familiar with. I was thinking about the fact that we seem to preach on this so much. But how many of you can remember years ago, Brother Thomas preaching a 3-message series entitled The World's Deadliest Demon? Yeah, those of you were here all those many years ago. And you remember what that was? Stress. Yeah, we remember it, don't we, because of the emphasis. That this world is under stress. It feels the burden and the pressure of just navigating life on earth. And, if we just embrace that and make it our own and carry it, life is rough. And how many of you think that's what the Lord intended for us? To just walk around just burdened down. Didn't Jesus say, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll let you earn rest." Oh, no, He said, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, learn from me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and you'll find what? rest for your souls. I mean, learning from Him, and then I think about the promise that He gave us. He spoke to His disciples, and here He was facing the cross of all things. I mean, it wasn't but a short time when He was in the garden crying out, feeling the pressure and the burden. He knew what to do with it, though, didn't He? Took it to His Heavenly Father. But right before that, He says, "My peace." Now, here He's facing this, and He's got peace. I mean, give me a break. The most traumatic thing that's ever happened in the history of the world, and the one to whom it's going to happen, has peace. There is a peace that we don't know anything about. And somehow He was able to say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives." And, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Over and over again, He says the same thing. He knew there were going to be things that were going to happen that they were going to be aware of that would naturally provoke in them a sense of being troubled and afraid. And, you know, the Lord is well aware of all of that. You know, there's somebody said in history, and I can't remember who this was, said, "You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Thee or in You." And that's true. I mean, we were not created to operate independently of God. I mean, you're talking come right down to the fundamentals of who we are and what God designed us for. We were not designed to live independently of Him. And you know, you think of the scripture we've quoted so many times from Isaiah about the wicked. And you know, we read a verse like the wicked are like the troubled sea and so forth, and we think about people who do really bad, terrible things. The truth is, if you're living your life, and it's independent of God, and you're basically saying, "God, leave me alone, I got my agenda, I'm going to do what I want," you're in that category. And the deeds that flow out of that kind of a stance in life are the things we call wicked. But I'll tell you, there's a wickedness of heart where we think we can run the show and do our thing. Oh my God, we need Him. We were not designed to live that way. And that's why the scripture points out the wicked are like, what? The troubled sea, when it cannot rest. There's no peace. You know, as waters cast up mire and dirt, I think, and then there's no peace, says my God, to the wicked. And the reality is, this world, I mean, we come into this world with a nature that has desires that just scream to be met, to be catered to. Some of them are physical. Some of them are emotional. Every one of us has this yearning for something. And, you know, what we call peace in this world, I mean, you could get in a very peaceful place, and you're talking about an environment that isn't stressing you out. It isn't placing any burdens upon you at the moment. And, you know, right now you've been able to put aside every other thing, and all you're focused on is this breeze and the sunlight and all of that. But, oh my God, if you're trying to get your peace and the satisfaction of your needs from this world, to quote JP, it ain't happening. It's just not here. It does not exist in this world. And that's where people try to get their happiness for it. Oh my God, it's so temporary. How many times have we said that? You know, there's a corruptible life and there's an incorruptible. And we were born with one that's corruptible. That means it can spoil, it can rot, it can die. Everything that's wrong, there are forces of death and decay that affect us. They affect our bodies. It's pretty obvious. You young folks, just wait. We were young once too. And we could have dunked it over you one day in the past. Now I'm lucky if I can touch the net. But seriously, if you're living just for example, to cater to the lusts of your flesh, all right, suppose you go through an experience where, okay, my flesh was gratified in that area. Then what? Well, do it again. Then what? And you keep asking, then what? And you're going to come down to the very end, and you're going to die. And then what? My God, we weren't made for such things. We weren't made to be ruled by human natural desires. We were made to know our Creator and to operate in harmony with Him. So anyway, the familiar words, and I just pray the Lord will bring something fresh. I know there's one thought in here that really surprised me, and I'll go ahead and share it as we go. I'll back up to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now bear in mind, he's writing to believers here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Obviously he felt the need because we don't always do this naturally, but it's a choice we have to make. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And of course, here's the verse, the verses that really are the heart of it. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, anybody who's been here any length of time can quote that verse, pretty much. And we all agree with it. It's something that we say, oh, yeah, that's wonderful. Praise God, isn't that? But how many of us live that on a moment-to-moment basis? We carry the burdens of life in so many forms. And stress is another way to put the same thing, anxiety. We think of it as fear, but everything that comes to us, whether it arises from an unfulfilled desire on the inside or whether it is something that is imposed upon us, whether it's a burden that we carry from the past, everything in the world is designed naturally to place a burden upon us. And guess who knows that? The devil knows that. And he makes it his business to pile on the load on every one of us who don't get this and do not understand this. The people of the world don't. I remember reading at some point early in the virus, this virus pandemic, where there was one place in the world where they were having more deaths from suicide than they were from the virus. Folks, this world is feeling the heat. They're afraid of what's coming. They're afraid of what might happen, what is happening. And you know, my God, the God understands. He knows the situation here. He is allowing things to unfold as they are, and it is serving His purpose. But He never intended for His children just to live here and carry the burdens of life. We carry the simplest things. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say or said yourself, if somebody asks me to do one more thing, I'm going to scream. You know, if God could help us to learn how to carry our burdens, or more importantly, how to hand them off. That's the problem. We don't hand them off. I mean, I hate to bring up this stupid example, but every time I think about this, I think of Dick Van Dyke. He is a great comic actor, and he was real good with physical comedy. And one of the things that he was really good at, there was something he was supposed to put down, and he would put it down, and then he would walk off in perfect harmony or perfect, and somehow, without breaking a beat, he would reach back and grab it and just take it back. But that's what we do. We bring our burdens to the Lord, but we don't leave them there. How many of you have heard the old song? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. That's what we don't do. We think we've got to carry it. It's my responsibility. I made this mess. I've got to fix it. On and on it goes. And God wants us to live. The ideal life is the one we see in Jesus. Every burden that He carried was immediately entrusted into His Father's hands. All He had to do. There was one thing He had to do. What's next, Lord? I'm not carrying any other burden than just doing what I'm doing. And not only that, I have your strength to help me to do it. I can have peace in the midst of this. How many of you need this? Yeah, I do. I sense it. I'm not. That's not my nature at all, and I'm sure it isn't yours. By nature, I'm a very anxious person, and I'm, you know, this should be this way, and that should be that way, and God help us. That's not my job. It's not my job to fix people. It's not my job to keep conflict going. It's not my job to feel the burden of all the stuff I got to do and then somehow muster what it takes. And we just don't believe God. We don't give Him what we've, the problems. I'll go ahead and put this in at this point. I know this is real. You know, we sing a song. There is a calm, there is a peace. A day of rest where strife has ceased. A life in Christ where all is still. No more my own, but just His will. A life in Christ is all I need. By rivers, by something, where His Spirit leads. How many times have we sung that? And how, to what degree do we actually believe that and experience it? But I did have an experience. I've probably mentioned this a time or two, and I won't go into all the details, but the summer that I graduated from college, I got a job with the New York Bible Society. And my job was to man a literature booth, I guess you could call it. I had somebody else who helped me do it. But we were at Coney Island. How many of you know where Coney Island is? It's New York's main beach, basically. At the other end, it's a seaside of Brooklyn, and all the subways come in there. Huge station. That's where they have the, what is that crazy? Hot dog place. Yeah, that's it. That's there. You come out of the station, there's the hot dog place, and you walk down to the boardwalk and all the amusements and the beach. Anyway, they had rented a little booth, I guess you could call it. It didn't even have a back door. They almost had a riot down there one time. I was wishing we had one. But anyway, be that as it may, that was going to be my job. And basically, we were handing out scripture portions and trying to engage people in conversation and witness. That was the general idea. And right before that happened, I went to that church in Brooklyn that we often went to on Sunday evenings. And I just had a burden in my heart. Lord, I don't want this just to be a job. I want You to use me. And the Lord gave me a very special word that night that was an encouragement that He'd heard my prayer. And the experience I had was not one of icicles running up and down my spine and exhilaration, and it wasn't a high kind of thing, but it was a deep peace. I think more so than I've ever experienced in any other point in my life. I just felt absolute in a bubble of peace. It was like the world was there, but I wasn't feeling it. It just almost separated. Something was separating me. I mean, isn't that what this describes? There's a guard, there's a peace you can't understand, and there's something guarding you. The Lord allowed me to taste the fact that that is real. And, you know, so Monday morning I went into the office there someplace in Midtown Manhattan, and we were getting started. They weren't set up yet, so we had some running around to do. And one of those days, we had to go and pick up a piece of furniture. It must have been a display case of some kind that had been refinished, and it was in a shop way down in Lower Manhattan. And it just happened to be next door to the famous Bowery Street Mission, where I had the privilege of preaching one time, actually. But anyway, when I got there, we encountered somebody that I had met, and this was a religious zealot. He was one of these guys who walked around witnessing, buttonholing everybody, and he had scripture portions on his cap and on his shirt, and he was going to get everybody saved. I put him in the Lord's hands. I'd hope he knew the Lord, and it was just a lot of ignorance, but I mean, it was a lot of human effort and zeal. And when we got there, he was arguing with one of the guys who would normally have been in the mission. There was a real argument going on there. And, you know, I meant to say this before I got to that, was you could imagine that feeling this sense of peace, like this bubble of peace you're in, it's almost like hiding away from the world. I don't even have to engage it. I'm just so isolated and separated. Isn't life wonderful? But you know, the peace that God longs to give us is not like that. Jesus didn't go hide and say, I've got this glorious, private, peaceful relationship with God. I don't have to bother with anybody. And what happened was the Lord enabled me. I had known this guy. You know, I had been working with a group that we witnessed on the streets of Brooklyn, not quite the way he did, but, and I had run into him before. Now we're over in Manhattan. And there he was arguing, and somehow the Lord gave me the grace to step in between them and just bring peace. Just end the argument and end it on good terms, and everybody was quieted down, and even my supervisor looked at me. I can't take any credit. But do you know something? If we can have what the Lord is talking about here, it's not that we don't do stuff. It's that when we do it, we're free from the burdens that we carry. There's only one thing we have to worry about, and it's not worrying, and that's to do the thing that comes to hand. But even there, it's not us doing it, it's the Lord doing it through us. But think what it's like when we run into those kind of situations and we're carrying our own burden still. We've never let go. I'm carrying all the burdens that life dishes out. And now I'm running into this thing. I'm going to get my feelings involved, usually. I'm going to get upset with them, and I'm going to jump in, and now it's going to be a three-way argument. And that's going to solve everything, right? Because I'm right. That's human nature. And we all do it. And God longs to just so take us into another realm, a different relationship with Him, where the only thing that I'm concerned about is the activity, the thing of the moment. And even there, I am looking to God, and there's a rest. I can do the thing that I have to do, but there's a rest on the inside as I do it. How many of you have ever tasted that? The Lord allowed me to taste that, and it's real. I wish I could say it went on that way. It kind of, a little bit less every day over time. Next thing you know, I was back to where I had been. But yet, I had that experience that I know it was real. I was tasting just a little of that at the beginning of the week. I know in my heart this is what God wants for every single one of us. You have burdens that you carry, the responsibilities that are heaped upon you, the expectations. You carry the burdens of stuff that we said so many times that have happened to you in the past, and you're still there. And it's buried down there, and you think the way to deal with it is just to bury it deeper and pretend it's not there, and you just, life goes on. That doesn't ever work. God wants to heal every one of us down to the very depths of our being. And there's a place we can take those burdens. Isn't there? But do we do it? Not like we need to. Not like the Lord wants to. So when He says don't be anxious about anything, your anxieties and all of that, it's not just fears and, but it is that, but it's every burden of life, everything that life throws at you that makes you feel like it's something I got to carry, I got to do, I got to feel, or I don't like what I feel, or I want this, and I can't have it. It's everything about this life does that to us. There's nothing that just brings us into that place of utter peace on the inside. There's no peace, saith my God to the wicked. But there is peace that He offers right here. And the thing that struck me about this, I'll see if I can get to it here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation. See, this is meant to be a moment-by-moment thing. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The one thing I don't recall ever noticing before, there's no guarantee that I haven't at this point in my life, but the one thing I don't recall noticing before is the word that they translate present is really, it's passive in the Greek. It's not an active, okay, God, I'm handing this off to you. I'm the actor here. Think about what the implications of that are. Do you think God is sitting there saying, oh no, one more burden? Oh my God, you know. Oh, here he comes. He's just trying to convince me to take all that stuff off of him. Why doesn't he straighten up and fly right? He got himself in, you know, all the stupid stuff that goes on in our heads that the devil plants there that makes us go on and carry the burdens ourselves or try to. But what in the world is the implication of that being passive? And the picture that I get from this is God staying there, give me your burdens. My hands are out. You don't have to convince me. I want to carry your burdens. I have all the strength that there is. I don't have any problem. I'll never run out of strength. I'll never run out of love for you. So what are we doing? Are we trying to convince him to take these burdens off of us? Or are we, the problem is we're hanging on to them. We're doing just like Dick Van Dyke did. We'll take them and then we'll walk away with them. Like, okay, I've got to do this. I've got to handle it. I believe with all my heart God can bring us to a place where it's just moment by moment we learn to let go. We learn to genuinely allow him to take the burden off, and we trust him that he knows what's going on. He knows how to handle it. And that he's faithful to tell us what to do if there's something we need to do. It's not that we're passive in that sense. But we've got to come to a place where we bring them, but we take our hands off, thank him, and allow him to actually take them. That's the sense that I'm getting from the way that is phrased in the Greek. I am allowing God to take the burden. That's the thing he wants. He longs to do it for you and you and you and you. He doesn't want you carrying the burdens you're carrying. And we all do it. That's how we learn to navigate this life naturally. Nothing could be more natural than feeling pressure. Again, why did Jesus say, come to me all who are weary and burdened? And there is a devil who will absolutely pile it on if we let him. And somehow, you know, what is it that, I'm just trying to think of some of the things that cause us to do this. Unbelief. Do we really believe that he loves us? I mean, does not the scripture say, casting all your care upon him? Why? Because he cares for you. Now, are you willing to take that personally and say, he cares for me now in this circumstance, no matter how I got here? I'll tell you, when it's our failure and we see shortcoming in ourselves that gets us in a place that is difficult, it's hard to just come and say, Lord, this is the situation. I need your mercy. I need your help. Lord, I'm not going to cover it up or hide it. It's what it is. But Lord, you've promised that if I cast this burden upon you, you can lift it, you can carry it. You can help me to take the next step and the next step. And I don't have to worry about all the steps that are coming. I mean, isn't that how we live? We're dragging the past with us. We're anxious about what might happen in the future and all the stuff that people expect. My God, we need a place. It's not just that we go there and we do it and then we go on and do our stuff. Is this not meant to be a relationship? Don't be anxious about anything. Again, is that Greek present tense? And what does that convey to us? This is a continuous thing. This is a lifestyle. And I'll tell you, it takes a while. It takes learning. We don't just learn this because we heard it in seminar. We learn it when we've got to need it and we make choices. God wants us to have a different approach to life. You know, it'd be all this business of accepting the burdens that life puts on us. It's so natural that it's a total habit. We do it and don't even think about it. We just suppose that's how it is. This is how life works. And how do you break a habit? Nobody knows how to do that. Well, you stop doing it, but yeah, you need to replace it with a different habit. Just stopping leaves kind of a vacuum. We need a different habit, and what the Lord is giving us here is a different habit. That means we learn when we sense the burden trying to be put on us. We don't wait until we're about worn out. We bring it immediately and say, Lord, you have allowed this circumstance to come, but you told me to bring my burdens to you. What does the psalmist say? I think it's in Psalm 55. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and what? He will sustain you. Anybody here need sustaining? Yeah, every single one of us needs sustaining. There's nobody here that can say, I'm strong, be like me. Oh my God, we're weak, and God knows it. But yet there he is with his arms outstretched. With his arms outstretched. And nails in them, saying, look what I did for you to set you free. And there you are, just carrying life's burdens as though I didn't even die, and it's all up to you. And there he is, reaching out, saying, don't live that way. Don't live a life burdened down with anxiety. It's not up to you. It's not all on you. I never meant for you to carry these burdens. You're connected to me. Your burdens are my burdens. And I have all the strength in the universe. And I love you. And I'm willing to carry those burdens so that you can let them go and trust. You know, the scripture that we spent 3 Sundays talking about in Isaiah. I will keep him in perfect peace. I can remember the King James better than anything. Of course, we sing the chorus. That helps. I will keep him in perfect peace. Who's what? Mind is stayed on thee. That's where we don't do so good. We'll think about him, and then we'll go on and carry the burdens and struggle with them and strive with them. And then, oh yeah, I'm supposed to take it to the Lord. And then we walk away and carry it with us. That's kind of how we live. And it takes a conscious choice being made in the day-to-day life for us to remember these simple truths, these promises of God, that he longs for us to just in the moment, always when we feel that pressure upon our soul, it's not that we'll never feel it, we will. We'll experience real trauma, real challenges. Some of them are time-consuming. Some of them take time. But even in that, God wants us to be able to say, Lord, I'm handing this off to you, and I'm done trying to worry about it. I'm done trying to fix it. I'm done trying to do anything. I can't, Lord, but you can. And I am trusting in you, and I'm going to go on to the next thing and not carry that burden. As far as I'm concerned, it's in your hands. You're taking care of it. It's not easy, is it? And none of us does that very well. We've all got so much room to improve. But I believe with all my heart, God brought this back to me in my experience when I was young. I know that there is that place in God. I wish I could say I lived there. But somehow, Lord's helped me to, like I say, to bring it back to my mind and help me to be able to have a peace even watching what's going on in society, as crazy as it is. The devil is being allowed to unfold a whole lot of things, and God's letting him do it. But we have his promise that he's going to be with us to the end. We don't have to be afraid of those other things that the world is afraid of. And no matter what happens, look at what Jesus went through. He had a peace that enabled him when that was what was called for, was to lay his life down. He did it willingly, peacefully, with joy, without recrimination against his enemies. Man, you got to have something beyond human energy and human strength to do that. We're going to have God. But that's his promise. Oh, there's so much he longs for us to actually possess. Now, bear in mind, Paul is, well, there's a couple of things that are in the context here. I think I'll go down a little bit, because Paul talked about learning some things. He mentions the fact that they had sent him a gift, but that wasn't what he was writing about. He wasn't after that. He was glad they'd done it because it was good for them. But down in middle of verse 11 says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. Now think about what he's saying there. The first time he had difficult circumstances, let's say he didn't have enough to eat, or things were really difficult in a very natural sense, don't you think that upset him and that concerned him, and that somehow that would grab his attention, and that his attention would be shifted to, what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? You don't think he would have had those thoughts? Of course he did. And, you know, the other side of it, where he had plenty, and he had to come to recognize the danger of having so much that you get comfortable and complacent, and all of a sudden you're not focused, and the Lord really can't do much. But what did he say? I've learned. Learn tells me that he didn't always get it right, but he learned to make choices, and he came to a place where he says down, well, he says, I've learned to be content. Content with such varying circumstances is not a natural human reaction. But by making the right choice in each circumstance and looking to God and saying, God, I'm committing this circumstance into your hands. I'm trusting you in it. Then I'm going to receive a strength that I don't have, and it's going to carry me through, and I'm going to experience your faithfulness, and I'm going to learn something. I'm going to replace a bad habit of anxiety about stuff with a different kind of attitude that just doesn't get thrown every time something happens that I don't like. And we do it. Every one of us has a different personality, but we're built out of the same stuff. And what bothers you doesn't necessarily bother somebody else, but vice versa. Every one of us got stuff that's so easy for the devil to push our button, and the next thing you know, we feel this unsettled, angry, anxious, resentful. Oh my God. And you think about what he says as he goes on about what he learned. He says, I understand, you know, what it's like to not have a lot or to have a little. But down in verse 13, he says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. He learned that when the thing that came upon him that not naturally would have caused him to be overcome with anxiety, he learned it by letting that go and saying, God, I'm trusting you. He learned that there was strength and that he could do stuff that he didn't think he could do. And, you know, the biggest thing is life is going to throw things at us that will, if we allow them, consume us. And there'll be things that the Lord could put in our path to do. We're not free to do them because this is what's got our attention. We are so bogged down that we can't even move forward. We can't even recognize what's going on. How many want to be free? Yeah. We got things to learn, but you know, we've got an awesome teacher who is loving and patient. And that's why he puts things like this in here and like what we read in Isaiah. But think about also the earlier context of in chapter 3 where Paul talks about the fact that I haven't arrived. But think about what he said when he talked about leaving the past in the past, forgetting those things that are behind. See, there's awesome, awful burdens that many of you here are carrying. Emotional wounds, things that have happened to you, personal failure. I know we've talked about this so much, but it's real, folks. I see it. I see it played out over and over and over again in lives. We are not free from our past. How can we move forward dragging all that mess? And the Lord has made provision where you and I can hand off everything. He can heal every wound. He can give you a forgiving spirit if that's what's needed. Even when you don't have the power to do it, if we're willing, He can take that burden of conflict between you and somebody else. Wounds that have happened to you. Your own failures. That's a biggie. How do we escape that? Does God want us to carry that burden and just go along and fix it ourselves? I can't. I have one place I can take it, and it's the cross. That's why He went there. That's why He went there with such joy, because He saw what He was going to be able to do for you and you and you and me. And we can bring that burden of personal failure to the Lord and be completely free as if it had never happened. Well, we learn from it. But I'll tell you, there's a scripture that we've read in this context many times, talking about this subject. And I'm not going to go and turn over there, but it's in Colossians 3, when it talks about let the peace of God rule in your hearts, I think is the way it puts it. It's in the context of our relationships one with another. Let God's peace rule. Don't allow conflict to arise. Let's let His peace dictate the relationships that we have and their character. But I remember hearing people preach about this over the years. And it's almost like the sense of the Greek there is, let the peace of God be the umpire. You know, in baseball, you've got an umpire to call balls and strikes. And he's the one who, gets the last word, presumably. But we need an umpire in life. Many times we are gauging our spiritual lives by things that we have imagined. We can look at our performance in an external way and just be like the Pharisees and think we're just great and don't realize that we have problems in here. My standing, my spiritual success as a Christian is not based upon the stuff I do. I could be here, I could play the piano, I could get up in the morning and read my scriptures and still have a major problem in here. We need something other than what we think. And I'll tell you, we need the peace of God. If there's something other than this peace that is the dominant characteristic of your heart right now and mine, is that coming from the Lord? Is that what He wants? See, that's a pretty good indicator. And I'm not talking about some emotion that makes icicles run up and down our spine. I'm not talking about that kind of a thing. That's the problem. We gauge our spiritual health by our feelings. And many times the Lord will let you go through a place where you can't feel a thing. And that's because He doesn't want us to live by feelings, but by faith. We know that. But there can be a peace that even reigns, even when we don't have the emotions that we would like to have. We may not feel, oh God, I feel the billows of Your love rolling over me. I'm just in a state of euphoria here. This is great. That's not the average Christian life. You may experience that sometime in your life, but that's not what we go for. We don't come in here and try to work that up. We need a confidence. We need a conviction in the depths of our souls that will carry us through those times. But I'll tell you, there's one thing that we can look to. God will give us a peace When we make the choice to say, God, I trust you, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in you. And it's the will, trust is a willingness to hand off the burden and realize it's not my burden anymore. It's his. And think about the awesome promise that he gives us here. The peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. This is, you can't account for this in human society. This is way beyond. Makes no sense to people. But it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, the picture there is of a compound where someone lives, but they've got a security guard around them. They got somebody out there that is aware of enemies that might come in, and they're right there to challenge them and say, no, you can't get in here. That's almost what I felt like I experienced so many years ago. It just felt like I was standing there, and I could even look near me and see what was going on, but it just wasn't touching me. And I realize we don't necessarily look to live with those sensations all the time, but I'll tell you, God wants to bring you and me nearer and nearer to that, to where today we can recognize when trouble comes. We can recognize when things would come that would impose stress and fear and add to our burdens. What do we do? Do we actually believe that he cares? Do we actually believe that we can hand the burden off and then step back and say, okay, Lord, now what? I'm free because you've taken this off of me. I don't have to worry about this anymore. If it's strength to do what I need to do, Lord, I'm believing you. I have a confidence in your promise that you are with me. You are able to lead me, even from this deep pit that I may find myself in. It may be a pit of my own making. I don't know. But there is a God who can take us if we will commit our whole being into his hands. Recognize that he made us for himself. He designed you and me to be in such a relationship with him that we don't carry the burdens of the world. He carries them. And when he hands us something to do, like he did his son throughout his life, he would do that, but he wouldn't carry yesterday's burden with him. He would just, all right, what's next, Lord? And that's kind of what I experienced with that argument that I, Lord, help me to stop. I mean, it wasn't like I was even thinking about anything else. I had no burdens. I felt a freedom that I can't describe. And so the only thing I had to worry about was just, Lord, help me to say the right thing and have a right spirit. Wouldn't that be awesome if God would bring us further along in this area? So we experienced more of what he's talking about here. Couldn't we be an instrument of peace? Wouldn't the Lord's Spirit flow through us and actually begin to affect our surroundings? And suppose we were that kind of a person, and somebody out here just chose to be angry anyway. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to just to put that in the Lord's hands and say, well, I don't have to be angry just because you are. The Lord set me free from that. I don't have to do that. It's a lot to think about, isn't it? This is not new truth, but it's truth that is needed. Every one of you is carrying burdens today. I don't care. I would be amazed if there's one. I hope there are people that have learned this in greater measure than I have. I guarantee everybody here is carrying something today, whether it's your past or anxiety about the future or the pressure of your life. And God wants you to hand off everything. And it's a continual thing where Jesus didn't carry the burden around for half a day and say, okay, I'm tired. I'm going to hand this off to you. It was instant. There was a trust. There was a rest in his heart and his spirit. I desire this in a greater way. I mean, what point is there singing the song that we sing if we don't actually believe it? And this is one I know the Lord is longing I mean, when he looks at you and me and he sees us struggling, doesn't he? Don't we see his heart in the words of Jesus? Come to me. Come. I understand where you're at. You don't have to carry that. You don't have to live that way. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. That was the Father in Jesus talking. He's still speaking to every one of us. And I just pray that God will help us to get this. I feel like I've rambled in a way, but I believe the Lord is saying something to me. Is he saying something to you? Amen. The only thing I know to do going forward is to say we've got to learn. We've got habits that need breaking. And I would say one of the first things we need to do is to bring the burden of this problem to him. And say, Lord, I don't know how to fix me. I recognize I got a problem in this area, and I don't even know how. I see what I'm supposed to do. I can't even do it. And I don't even recognize when I need to do it. I am so bound to habits of mind and thought. Lord, I need you to set me free. I need you to help me in this. And then hand it over to him and say, I'm believing you to work in me. I'm believing you to begin to speak to me when the need arises so that I don't have to carry the thing around for a few years before I do something about it. I can learn how to hand it off and learn how to hand it off and be like Paul, who learned how to be content. You know, one aspect of this, I can't remember all the details of Brother Thomas's messages, but I know this was a part of it. That when we live under the stress that he's describing here, it has physical consequences. An awful lot of the health needs of God's people come not from disease organisms, but they come from the mind and the heart and the emotions that we allow to operate in us. We are a complex being, physical and spiritual. But you can't live with anger, fear, stress without it affecting your health. There are a lot of things that we could overcome that God would help us with if we would get this, we would experience his peace. And there's only one way to do it is to let go. When your will is constantly wanting your way and pulling your direction and fussing at God for not doing it your way, is that what he's talking about here? No, that's just self-will. We need him. But I would say the first prayer we need to be praying is, Lord, help me with this. And in a sense, this imposes upon me something I ought to do, and I don't want to take that as another burden. This needs to be a burden that let me start with this one, Lord, and hand this off to you, because your promise is that you will work in me to will and to do. That goes back to chapter 2 of the same book, doesn't it? Think about how all this dovetails together. We work out, but God works in us to will and to do. There's that. I need both. I need him to inform me of choices that I need to make, but I need him to strengthen me to do it and even give me the will to do it. That's a pretty good burden to hand off to him, isn't it? Say, Lord, I know I need this and I haven't got what it takes, but I'm trusting you. And I'm going to go out of here confident of your love, confident that you're going to help me, because that's what this is about. It's about your love and your mercy and your salvation. That's what I need. I tell you, we have an awesome God. But think about the peace of God, which transcends, goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants to experience in a greater way. Like I say, I have tasted it enough to know that it is real. And I want it. I want more. And I want it for you, and I believe that's why the Lord's brought this back to my mind. God wants it for you right now. The world is full of stuff that's going to dump its burden on you and tear your, just bind you up, tear you down, make you sick, all these things. And God wants us to have a freedom, wants us to be a people of freedom and light in the middle of a dark, bound world. And we can do everything through Him who strengthens us. To Him be the glory. Praise God.